He was so blown away by that statistic that he couldn't even.
Well, it's very convenient that today is the day we're going to talk about that trivia question. We're going to hold on to that one.
Okay, let's do that. We'll do that coming up. Let's see what else we got. Brady Hoke and the athletic director at Michigan meet today. Could be another high-profile opening a-coming. And, oh, by the way, the Broyles Award finalists were named yesterday afternoon, and we may be getting a chance to visit with the future head coach at Nebraska, that being Scott Frost, whose name has been bandied about by some as the potential replacement for the now resigned slash fired Bo Pelini.
Where is my boy Kiffin going?
The other finalists that will be in for the Broyles Award, Lane Kiffin, Dave Steckel, who's the defensive coordinator at Missouri, of course, will be squaring off in the championship game this weekend, Tom Herman, the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, the aforementioned Scott Frost, and Doug Meacham, co-offensive coordinator, TCU, a team that I think is going to be on the outside looking in after this weekend. All right, we have Jim now. Jim Harris, welcome.
Am I on there now?
Oh, buddy, you're there. Sorry about the issues. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jim, Final Four, what's it going to be? What are we going to hear from the committee tonight? What do you think they say today, and what do you think changes, if anything, after the games are played Saturday and Friday night?
I think it's Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, TCU.
Okay, when Baylor beats Kansas State, provided they do, and I'm assuming that includes Bryce Petty being back, as he says he will be, what do you do with Baylor?
Well, unless Baylor wins impressively over Kansas State, I think that even though Baylor won a head-to-head matchup with TCU at home several weeks ago, I think TCU is playing better football overall than Baylor. I know, obviously, they didn't play well enough to hold on to a 21-point lead at Baylor several weeks ago. But, I mean, if you look at what Baylor's done of late, I don't think they're that impressive. TCU was incredibly impressive in a game that I will bet you 60% or more people thought Texas would beat TCU and cover that line to boot a week ago.
Yeah.
And instead, TCU thrashed them as bad as Texas has been beaten this year in Austin.
Yeah. Well, here's my deal. The only thing about it is their one loss, of course, was at West Virginia, and that's a game, of course, that TCU barely won themselves. I mean, they did win there, but they barely won. It was a close game down the stretch, and they had to kick a field goal to win the game.
Looks like being barely pregnant.
Well, no, I mean, but they did. I mean, they're looking at that, so it does matter. I mean, because we're talking about Texas Tech being a narrow victory. My thing is that to me is a wash, because TCU a couple of weeks ago barely beat a horrific Kansas program with an interim coach. So I think some of that balances out to some degree. You know, they've got the out-of-conference victory against victory against Minnesota, 30-7. They played Oklahoma close as a 4-point win for them. And if we're going to compare all this, because this is what it's going to come down to. I mean, it shouldn't, but it does. That's how it's built. Baylor destroyed Oklahoma in Norman 48-14. Meanwhile, TCU played Oklahoma at home and beat them by 4. They lost heads up. They beat Kansas State by 21, admittedly, but they beat Kansas by 4, and Kansas is awful. They did destroy Texas, but how did Baylor do against Texas? They beat them 28-7, so they won convincingly there. I just think when you compare everything all the way across the board outside of the non-conference schedule, and really the only feather in the cap is the Minnesota game for TCU, you lost head-to-head. If they beat Kansas State here at the end of the season, I don't know how you put them in ahead of Kansas State, or ahead of Baylor, rather. But that's me.
Well, I mean, that's why it's still subjective. It's not objective. It's not perfect, just like the BCS was not perfect. But in all but maybe 2 years, the BCS got it right as far as giving us the two teams. So we've expanded this to 4 teams, but it's still, is it going to give it to us right or not? I think that remains to be seen if the best two teams end up there on a year-by-year basis.
Right.
If you expand this playoff further, I will say you reduce the chances even further of coming up with the two best teams at the end of the season squaring off for the national championship. So, I mean, you got to decide what you want, I guess. And
Well, you know, the thing is, I have an issue.
You can't throw computers in. We've decided that.
No, but here's the deal. College football is so cocky that college football thinks it's above the law and it has to do everything differently than everybody else does. There is no other playoff in the country at the professional or college level that decides things like this. My thing is you have to play well enough to get yourself an opportunity at the end of the season, and that's part of it. We see it in college basketball. We see it in pro basketball. We see it in the NFL. Those are the major sports. That's what people do. You play your way in to have an opportunity. So I still think the 8 is the right number, and that's the reason why you have to play well enough. You shouldn't have to be perfect or near perfect to get to the end of the season playoff. I don't think. I think 8's the right number. I hope they go to that eventually. But anyway, as it is, if we're splitting hairs over TCU and Baylor at the end of the season, and I hope it doesn't come to that. Hopefully it determines itself. Maybe even that includes Baylor losing, which I'm not necessarily rooting for. I hope it sorts itself out and we have a clear-cut 4. I don't know that that's going to happen. So whatever.
How about they go to 6 and have 4 teams playing in to 2 of those semifinal spots that you picked, say, the 1 and 2 teams at the top, just like you picked in the past.
I don't have a problem with that.
The 1 and 2 teams, and then you
get... I think that's a great idea.
A power... Thank you. You get the Power 5, hopefully, covered, and then another... And then play a wild card team. Instead of saying you have a Power 5 conferences out there, but, oh, man, we only have 4 spots. I mean, none of that ever added up. It still doesn't add up. And who's to really say that either one of TCU or Baylor is more deserving, really, than the loser between Oregon and Arizona again? If Oregon loses to them a second time, okay, we knock them out. But say Oregon wins this time, what about, you know, Arizona? They look pretty stout to me. I think they could give TCU and Baylor a pretty good game. That's what we're looking at here. And the whole idea that, and I think a lot of people are kind of relishing this possibility, including Ivan Maisel yesterday, saying that the SEC is not the elite anymore, and that if you know, this is not beyond the realm of possibility that Alabama could lose to Missouri. They probably won't, but I think Missouri is a heck of a football team, and its defensive coordinator makes some great calls. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He called a lot better game on his side of the field than Arkansas could with a kind of one-handed quarterback. But he's deserving of the Broyhill finalist honor that he's gotten to. But here's the deal. If Alabama loses that game, you knock the SEC out. I mean, because I would still – beg to differ with anybody who thinks that on a talent level that these other teams match up to the SEC size and speed up front. I just don't believe they do. It's like, you know, to boil it down locally, if everybody in the 7A West, you know, in high school beat everybody up like they've done a lot of years,
right?
A bunch of years we've seen the 6th place team in 7A West, and heck, they may be Fayetteville this year. I don't remember where they finished, but they beat each other up. But it never fails that they're still better. Their 6th place team can come down here and generally beat the rest of 7A football.
Right.
I mean, that's how I look at the SEC. I mean, I think that, you know, you could take your pick around the West or I don't know what happened to Georgia Saturday, but they did play their way out of any talk of being a powerhouse.
Right. I think that's the best Georgia Tech team they've had. He's had there. And, I mean, if they beat Florida State, that's going to, you know, a little bit more legitimize the victory over Georgia, because Georgia Tech's actually pretty good. And I hope that happens, but we'll see.
I think they surprisingly did get better. They had some speed that I didn't know they had, because you got to have speed. You've got to be fairly fast to play with Georgia, and you can't turn the ball over. The things that Arkansas and Missouri both did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Missouri played Georgia again on a different Saturday, who knows? If Missouri played Indiana on a different Saturday, who knows? But those are kind of glaring, and definitely keeps Missouri out of the talk for a spot in the Final Four. you wouldn't put them in even if they were SEC champion. And then you wouldn't want to say, well, you know, Missouri's SEC champion, but boy, that Alabama team, they could beat any of those teams. Well, they didn't do it.
Yeah, here's the deal on Florida, on Georgia Tech, rather, too, is, of course, they're in separate divisions, so they don't play every year. They didn't play last year against Florida State.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they lost 21-15 in the ACC championship game. So, I mean, a close game, and then you have to go back three more years, and they beat them 49-44. You know, you always talk about how that option attack gives them fits, and I don't know what year is this. This is seventh year for Paul Johnson, so he would have been the head coach then, too. That option attack is always troublesome. And so, you know, you've only got a week. If you play in a bowl game, it's a little different animal. But I think this game could be pretty interesting. So we'll see. I think they're a little better than they have been. And we've seen them, you know, cause problems, have a pretty good regular season record, go to a bowl game, even a BCS game back in the day. I mean, it was 4 or 5 years ago. I think they played Iowa and got destroyed. But, you know, when you get teams that have time to prepare for it, typically it's not as big a deal. So we'll see. But I think it's poppycock that the SEC is not the elite. And you look at what they've done against other conferences. You look at the eye test and the number of guys they're sending to the NFL. It's just the best football, bottom line. And I think that'll prove itself out again this year. But I don't think the margin is great this year. And somebody made the point yesterday that they didn't think this was a banner year for college. Well, maybe it was Wally that said that. But anyway, I don't know.
For the whole year, I mean, can you say Florida State is a dominant team, even
no.
if they're undefeated like last year's team was? There's a big difference in those teams, and they've been awfully lucky with their – I mean, that they haven't really played a schedule with teams that could step up and, you know, probably overwhelm them up front or at least – you know, dominate them up front. Alabama could probably do that to Florida State. But then again, I mean, you got a game like last week and how it went. I mean, there were so many possessions in the Alabama-Auburn game. I mean, if you limit those possessions, Alabama was going to be in trouble. But, you know, it got to where it was just they had so many chances. They were able to overcome three interceptions, and Auburn wasn't able to convert a lot of those turnovers into touchdowns. They were kicking field goals, and so Alabama survived. But there was a, you know, week in and week out, that's what we see. You saw Arkansas play well 2 weeks in a row, but I'll say that Arkansas was not, I mean, they were sharp early a little bit, but they weren't able to maintain their focus for 60 minutes like they could the two previous weeks. And that's what the SEC is always going to be about. I mean, how do you do that 8 weeks in a row or 8 weeks out of 10, or however many you play.
Right. Let's. We've only got a few minutes left, and I want to hit on three or four topics here, so let's try to move on quickly if we can. But Arkansas bowl game, any kind of gut feeling for where you think they might end up or whether you have any concern that they might end up out?
The Duck Commander was the only bowl on side at the Arkansas-Missouri game. I feel like they're, you know, in the – I think that's what they're in the running for. I think Independence Duck Commander wants them. You know, Shreveport wants them. They'll ask Mr. Slive to, you know, push Arkansas that way. I think it's either that or they fall to the Birmingham Bowl. But I would think that it just sets up well for Arkansas maybe against Virginia Tech and Shreveport.
Okay, sure. That'd be interesting. What about A-State? You think they make a bowl game or not? And I loved your tweet the other day, and I quoted you yesterday talking about how, you know, if they're going to give a waiver – to Georgia Southern, why have the rule in place at all? I mean, it's kind of silly. And UCA went through the same thing when they were transitioning up, won the conference in their first year in the league, and, you know, they didn't get a waiver. I just don't know how you could possibly give it to them. It seems a little silly to even have the rule if you're going to give a waiver.
But, I mean, it's just, you just don't do that. You've already said, look, you're in a provisional status. We're not going to go, oh, but you went 8-0. Well, that's part of it. You know, it's part of the you know, the provisional status is getting you, you know, either way out of, you know, into a, I think Division II has different, or I think there are academics
in
two that are in play here that you can get in students at 1AA that maybe wouldn't have gotten in at the higher level. I mean, there's reasons for this provisional status. There was reasons why it hit for UCA going from, Division II to Division One.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's wrong. I think Arkansas State's going to be right there on the bubble. I don't think they'll get the three Sun Belt bids that are out there, but I could be wrong. I mean, you know, they've shown they'll travel, though, and I think that's a factor. Right. They've shown their fans go. Will they follow this team that's been kind of up and down? I don't know. But I'd love to see them get a bowl, obviously.
Yeah, I would, too. What about let's talk basketball here. And
yeah.
Arkansas back in the top 25. In fact, they've edged their way up in the rankings after continuing their undefeated run here. Now 18th in one poll and 21st in the other. They take on a top 20 team on Thursday night. Thoughts on the team so far? And, of course, I think what really stood out to me the other day in the Iona game, Pat, feel free to chime in, but the Iona game was that they did it without Alandis Harris, a guy who's a starter.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think of all the players that would be the starter, he would not be the one missed. You would miss Qualls or you would miss Portis or probably Madden. But they have so much depth this year. So many guys have improved. I always remember hearing either people, particularly they said it about Nolan, but I mean, they may have said it about Mike too, about, you know, player improvement. Well, no one can say that hasn't happened with Mike across the board since he's been here. Look at the improvement for Ja'Cory Williams. Mm-hmm. Look at the guard improvement. Everybody across the board has improved their game. And I know that Qualls started out last season strong and then had maybe some discipline issues and a slump and all that. But he looks like he's doubled his game from last year. He looks like an all-SEC player. Or looks like an NBA pick. He really does, and I guess we'll have to watch and see if he does have that midseason fall off like last year, but I don't think he's going to have it. I think he really looks like a difference maker. He won that game the other day. I thought Iona was a decent team. I thought they played him really well, but I love the way Qualls is playing now, as long as he, you know, keeps the focus that he's got, and I think this is all a credit to the coaching staff. I like that Nick Babb's getting more time. I think it's going to be really special. I think Beard's really special. I'd love to see more inside game from somebody. I'd like to see Kingsley, if anybody else, pick it up and be able to score on the inside. He's really struggling on second chance shots that he was a lot better with last year, and I'm sure that'll be a focus for him to get him. If he can play on the inside and get him second chance shots, Arkansas gets some of the trash buckets, they can go into Iowa State and win. If they aren't getting those and they spend on this perimeter game like they've done a lot so far, it's going to be a tough out. It's going to be tough to win in there.
No question. Well, it should help the RPI regardless of the outcome of the game, so I'd love to see them get a victory.
I think they're in great shape, RPI and ranking-wise. Even if they lose the game, it shouldn't fall far. But they should be able to win a lot more here in December and go into SEC play in good shape to sew up a bid maybe this year for the NCAA for the first time in forever. But that is an interesting stat, not having a ranked opponent when we were ranked in 14 years. That's incredible. I thought they met a ranked team in the year Pelfrey knocked off Oklahoma and Texas back to back. But
yeah, Jim, we got to take a time out. Appreciate the insight. We'll visit again soon, and hopefully talking about some more wins along the way. So we'll talk to you again, man.
Thank
you, Jim.
Thanks for having me,
Jim Harris, Sporting Live Arkansas. We're behind. We got to go. We'll be back in a sec.